Accession number 31425, which is Mike Gagan, Real 16. Now, so that would, I mean, if you saw a target, that's, did you have different types of target? That's the George Fox target. Did you cover the
well,
sort
got
of terms for it?
You got different, and also with my calling for an airstrike or something like
that. Well, tell me about that. How would you call in for an airstrike?
Well, we'd get back to the battery, and they'd be in contact in with HQ or somewhere, which could call for an airstrike in that area, and we'd be shelling the area. But as soon as the airstrike comes in, you stop shelling. In case you happen to hit a plane or anything like that, because they used to come down so low and different things like that. And then you'd have your troop targets, you'd have your battery target, and also you'd have a mic target. Now, the mic target was a whole regiment. And this happened once, very early in the morning, the Chinese put in a big attack. And we called down for a mic target, and that was three batteries, and I think they fired over 3,000 rounds before breakfast one morning.
Now, what was the impact of that? I mean, what did it look like in front of you, though?
Well, when you're seeing the shells go up, you see where they are, and if they, especially in the summer, if you hit something, you'd be everything would be smothered in dust and everything like this. Also, we used to have...
So what could you see of that? What happened that day?
Well, you'd see what you're blowing up or everything. You may want clear... There'd be enemy troop movements, and they'd have a line of trenches like our trenches, and we'd bring down them.
No, I mean, when you brought down the regimental fire, I mean, what did that look like?
It looked... something like El Alamein, I should imagine. It was terrific. The whole complete lot, the whole area, it was just went up in explosions, in dust, rocks, everything blown up.
Do you know when that was? It was summer, obviously.
Sometimes, but I always remember, I think it was August 52, we called down some gunfire. Because we were getting mortared badly that day, and I happened to see a puff of smoke come up from a hill and called down gunfire, and it was a troop target, just a troop. And with that troop, the first rounds, we give two rounds gunfire, first rounds landed, but when the second round landed, we're an ammo dump. And that exploded another ammo dump. We had three big explosions go up where we'd hit ammo dumps of the, might have been the mortars what had been firing on us or anything like that. And that really, really came out. But also, with the height of our hill, we could see behind the Chinese lines and everything like that. And we see a lot of movement once. And you couldn't pinpoint, you couldn't see, it was so far away, but you could see the area, and we called for white smoke, so you see where the shell goes and you see the smoke coming up, because you can't see where the shell lands, it's that far away, but we'd see where the smoke was, and we'd see a lot of movement right in the distance, could have been 10 mile away, and they fired this white smoke, and there was, to the left, there was more, and we called a battery target, and they fired HP, and there was a big explosion. I think we might have hit a tanker going to feed it, because there was such a, this explosion what went up, and the flames what went, it must have been a petrol, something we hit with petrol, because it was, and all the fields caught alight and everything after that. Everything happened. It was just... lucky shot, I should imagine, because we couldn't see where it was going. But if the planes were coming in and we wanted, we'd fire red or blacks or white smoke so the planes could see where they're going in as well.
So you'd fire a shell, a smoke shell, red or black,
to say we're especially if we've called in for an airstrike. And if it was a bit dodgy country, then we'd fire a smoke shell there. One day we fired a smoke shell, and because they're cornfields or anything like this, and we fired a shell once, and it set a whole fire was going for about 2 days after. It must have set a field alight. Of course, once we send a shell, the Chinese and that wouldn't go into that field, and it just burning. It was burning everywhere. And if the smoke was going that wind was blowing that way, it'd be lovely. But sometimes it blew out back on us. So it was all. You wasn't only fighting the enemy; you were fighting the elements.
Well, let's look at the elements a bit more. When you first got there, it's very cold. Tell me about that. Well, how bad was it?
Well, it was very cold because I see one fella from the 5th Inniskilling Royal Dragoon Guards. They had a tank, and the Chinese put in, it wasn't a big attack, but they put in an attack. And this fella jumped into the tank, and he hadn't got his glove on. He got his right glove on, and his hand stuck to the metal, and he pulled it away, and the whole of his palm come off the skin, the whole of his palm. And he's got in there, and he was firing his gun, and it was after, I suppose it lasted about half an hour, that attack. And when he got out, the life was just coming back in his hand. He couldn't put a glove on, and he went, and I don't think we'll ever see him again, because the whole palm of his hand had come off. It was that cold. And also, I've seen people lighting fires under the diesel tanks on lorries to get some warm, because even the diesel had frozen. And they was putting a little fire underneath them to try and bring some heat. Put a canopy round it, put the or wood, whatever it was, so that the flames would go up. And we were really cold in some of those times.
Now, how did you manage?
Well, you wrap yourself up with and then they issued out parkas. These were coats with like a fur in. And also they had a strap coming down at the back, so you could pull it under your legs and pin it in the front as well. So, and that kept you pretty warm.
Any other extra uniform or gloves or anything?
Well, you'd have gloves and things like that, but one thing, what was a disaster, they brought out some boots which they had got from South Africa, and they were, I think that was made with rhino leather or something like that. But in the cold weather, they wouldn't bend. So we couldn't wear them. They wouldn't bend. They'd just stay stiff. And they did away with them. And also, some of the parkas, what they brought out, I've still got a cutting of it, that if you were starving, you could take the buttons off and boil the buttons in water. The buttons were flavoured, and that was on a parka. I've still got a cut in here showing you what they say about that. So they was all trying out all different ways but there was nothing. The Chinese, few what we either killed or captured, they had quilted coats on, which was marvellous for the cold, but they had been used to it. Where the troops going out there, even the Americans, they hadn't got nothing really substantial. So,
I mean, did you manage to get stoves working and that kind of
thing? Oh, yeah, we managed to get some stoves working and things like that, wherever we could. It's all according where you were going or where you were. And One place they even managed to get, the Americans used to come round, find a river, and then the officer would come up and say, right, you're going for a shower today or wash, because they used to have bath units. And they were organising that, because you could go into the bath unit if your regiment, if they pulled up near your regiment, sometimes they'd organise it so they'd be near your regiment. And I mean, you might not have had a bath for weeks, or you know, you got nowhere to bath, no water. And you'd go down there, and you'd have a nice hot shower. Could be 10 of you all in the same shower, all the soap and everything, and there's all new clothes, clean clothes for you, t-shirts, underpants, everything. They'd have a truck at the side. They was really organised in there, where the Brits had nothing like it. So every now and again we'd go down there and come out with a nice American t-shirt on, and it was lovely.
How did you get on with the Americans that were in the next thing?
Very good.
Tell us a bit about them.
Excellent. They were in the bunker next door to us. Now, they had guns, what we called the Persuaders. And this was the 936 Field Artillery Unit, Americans. And
936
Field Artillery Unit. They had these big Persuaders. Now, sometimes we've been our 25 pounders would fire, and if it was in an area where it's rock and everything like that, they'd explode as soon as they hit the rock. But these Americans, the shells was about 3 foot long, must have been a foot wide, and they could go into the ground 20 foot before they exploded. And many times we've called on them, and there was one hill what the King Shropshire Light Infantry had lost, and we was bringing down gunfire, and then we called the Americans to help us because our 25 pounders was going like we're making, and we called on them, and about the third shell it hit the side of the hill and blew this whole side off, and we found we could see that the Chinese had like a big hole, a big bunker in there for operations, where our 25 pounder would never have done it, but that big shell blew off the
hill. How big do you know the millimetre?
I can't think.
Well, we can look it up, Persuader anyway, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Tell us a bit more about the lads in the neighbouring.
Well, they were really decent fellas. There was only three of them. There'd be the officer and like the two signallers. And because they were only just like liaising with us as well. And the officers, they was pretty good, and the lads theirself, we couldn't have wished for better people. And they'd bring us food. You know, these were the people that I used to say, any chance of any peanut butter. So the next time they went back to their camp, you know, when they go down, you always got someone went back to your camp every day, same as us. And to see anything, bring any mail, or if there was any mail, anything like this, and see what you can scrounge in the way of eggs, water, anything. And they used to get me peanut butter. Sometimes we get a beer ration, and we'd always give them a tin of beer each. We so appreciated, because they'd have old tin beer, where we used to have the Japanese Asahi in bottles. And we got on really well, and up to this day, I'm still in contact with them all these years.
What, the blokes?
I lost one fella last year in 2007. He died. He lived in New London, Minnesota. And the other one, he's gone out to California. But I'm in contact with two of the fellas. Only last night I sent them a message, and on the computer it's 936 American Field Unit, and it's on. They've got their own website on the internet as well.
Now, just looking at other aspects, well, I'm picking up things from life while you were at the OP. What about latrines? What did you do for latrines?
Latrines, they used to, just at the, you'd find one bin dug out, just at the, or made, if they couldn't dig it out, be an made out of old, like, naffy boxes or ammo boxes. There was always that little privacy of a toilet. It was for going to the toilet. But if you wanted a pee, then what I used to do, get an old mortar canister, dig a hole, put the mortar canister in it, and then put some lime or something like that in it, so that when you have a pee, it just goes through to earth and everything, and no germs have come up as well. But the latrines itself was always made out of old wood or ammo boxes and dug out always a bit deep, but always made sure there was some kind of a chemical put on it to kill any germs or anything like that.
Now, what about, we talked about food rations, but I forgot to ask you, what about water ration? What about beer ration or rum ration?
You never got rum, never got anything like that. Only if you was going into battle. They'd give you a small drop of rum. If you was going into battle, you say, have a drop of rum.
But you didn't?
No.
So what about a beer ration?
I did have a couple of rums, but not much. But beer rations, you may get one tin a week, one bottle a week. It's all according how the beer rations was coming up. Not everyone got beer rations, you know. Sometimes you'd be lucky if you got a beer. But if you was back in camp, or back with the battery, there was no camps, but if you was back in the battery, you may get a beer and things like this, you know, perhaps two a week.
Now tell me how you got on with the units. You were with it. Now it's the Welsh Regiment, or is it Royal Welsh? And the Royal Norfolks, anyway.
Yeah,
Royal
the Norfolks.
Now there, we've interviewed about 50 of the Royal Norfolks who are in Korea, so we might even know some of the people. I don't know whether. What do you remember of the Norfolks? As much as detail as you remember.
Well, the Norfolks, they were very good, and a lot of them come from London as well. So we all got on well, and as I said at the beginning, we all relied on one another. And many times I've been out with the Royal Norfolks on patrols of an evening. And
now I'll come to the patrols later, because that's definitely, yeah, we're going to. Were there any characters you remember from this Sergeant Major? Wasn't fit, was it?
No, I wouldn't know his name, because I wasn't in there. I didn't even know their names, you know what I mean? Just the Major had come up and things like this, and they used to come up and thank us for what we was doing, especially if we've brought them go down gunfire and they've had a patrol out. And we brought one in the Royal Norfolks, always remember, we brought some gunfire down, and one of their patrols got captured by the Chinese in an old village, and we see it, and we brought down gunfire, and they managed to escape. And I think it was a Sergeant Critchley later, he was a sergeant, and he got the military medal as well. And they came up and thanked us for what we did. And but we did keep eye on them, which we had to do. This was why we always had two fellas scouting the whole time. But if there was a
patrol. By scouting, you mean with a binocular?
Yeah.
Looking out. What about the other battalion you mentioned? The Welsh?
The Welsh.
Is it just the Welsh Regiment? Or
the Welsh Regiment. They were very good as well. Mostly Welsh people. And they did a really great job as well. And always remember one battle when we got really shot up really bad. That was the day my officer got wounded.
No, I'll come to that another time.
But the Welsh, they were good, and they used to be building bunkers and everything. And then we had the Royal Engineers come, and they built a hoist up Hill 355.
Tell me about that.
They managed to get a motor engine up the top, because it was a very big hill. They put a track in, like a little track going up, like which is used in a coal mine or something like that. It was very hard work for them, but but we were on a fixed line at the time. We had to hold that line because this was when the peace talks was going on.
So this was a hoist and track. What was it for?
For carting up materials, equipment, everything. And what they'd done, they put like a little trailer, fixed the cable up, and put this trailer on, and there was a kind of a gantry at the top and one at the bottom, and it was a fixed length. And they put this cable in, which they did a marvellous job, and the engine at the top or the bottom would be working. You put all your equipment in, and then you send it all up. And as soon as it got to the top, they put a lever so that as soon as you got into that distance, the lever would click and shut the cable down. But all your equipment and that, the time what that saved, taking all our equipment up, all the walking, you know, and you'd even sit on the truck as well, if you was brave enough. You'd sit on the truck and go up with it, and all you get, and that really was a great help. And the engineers there, they did a wonderful job. But the only thing was, just inside, just in front of our bunker, and in an area there, there'd been put a lot of mines, and it was all enclosed in barbed wire.
Whose mines? Were they British mines or Chinese? Or?
Well, they could have been anyone, because we didn't know who they were.
So it was in no man's land?
It was like in front. But also on that wire, was two bodies. They were Chinese. And they were just laying there. And in the summer, the smell with them, where they was rotting, if the wind was blowing your way, you'd smell them. But no one, you couldn't get to them or nothing like that. And just to the right, the Americans, they had a similar thing we could see in their area where we should protect them as well. And what had happened, patrol had gone out, the Americans, and a couple of them got killed. And the medical corps had gone out, the Americans had gone out to retrieve the bodies. And as they picked one body up, it exploded. What had happened, the Chinese had disemboweled them, put explosives in them, so that as soon as they was lifted up, they went off. We heard an explosion, but we didn't know. It was that far away, we didn't know what it was, but the Americans told us in the next bunker what had happened. So you got all...
What was the smell like? How bad was it?
Well, sometimes it was, you know, I mean, it was the gases in the body like, and everything like that. As soon as they started to go, I mean, I've seen a dead cow laying there, bloated right out. It was dead. And when that someone fired a rifle, a bullet into it, and the gases would come out, you could have lit a fire with it. You know, it was that bad.
Now, tell me a bit about the rats. You mentioned them earlier, but I cut you off. How bad a problem were rats?
It doesn't matter where you went. You'd dig a bunker out, and you might see a rat run across. And what they were sending out units, sending out men to try and catch them, to see if they were infected with scrub typhus. And that's something like Wills disease in this country. And not all of them were. But you might have got the odd one, which was, you know. But a lot of the rats, as soon as they see you, they'd be away. So there was nothing there, you know.
Were they a bit of a nuisance?
Not really, because they'd come out and steal your food if you left anything. But on the whole, they kept away from you. And also, you got the odd snake.
Now, what type and how much problem?
Well, there was some of them was pretty, you know, about 3 or 4 foot long, but the poisonous ones, they were the shorter ones. But you didn't hardly see them. You could be, I only see two the whole time I was in Korea. So they wasn't, because they'd live in the hills. Well, you'd have your bunkers there, but you wasn't all over the hills. They'd be in the, also you got deer and stuff like that in the mountains, which kept well out of the way.
And what other types of animal or any nuisances? Flies, fleas,
mosquitoes. In the summer, they were terrible. And flies, they'd be everywhere.
Tell us about the mosquitoes first. How much of a nuisance were they?
Well, they were a nuisance, and we'd make a, if you had a little bit of tin, you put some, try and put a bit of earth or sand in it and put a drop of diesel and light it, because they'd smell that and they'd keep away from you. But on the whole, if you was like in, near an old paddy field and that, they'd be breeding in that area, and they could be a real nuisance. So there was all things like this too.
What about the flies? Are flies a problem?
Yeah, they'd come on you to you, but I mean, they wasn't swarming all over the time, you know. You just, as you're going along, you just, they'd come on to you. You always made sure that you hunched them off, because you didn't know what they was doing on you. So, especially if you was eating, you know, you got your little tin. But if you was, you've got your food on there, and you've got a little bit of a fire coming out of it, and you'd make a little fire, and you'd have your embers, and they'd keep away from the little bit of smoke or anything like that. So it wasn't a big.
Did they spread disease because they go on the?
Well. We didn't know whether they spread these.
Were there any health problems that you were aware of, like dysentery or upset tummies?
Yes, many times people have got dysentery and upset stomachs and everything like
that. How bad was it? Did you get it?
No, I didn't get it, but I knew a couple of chaps what did get it and had to go back to a hospital, and they got it. But when you're looking at it, what used to be the whole of the trouble, you never got water. The only water what you got was what come up in the water truck. Well, you get a water truck and you've got the whole battery going to get water. You might get a tin of water and that might have to last you 2 or 3 days. And a lot of people, you know, not washing and things like that. If we was by a stream, I always made sure that myself or my lads went down and washed their hands and had a wash. Even if you've got a small river what's flowing, you know that it's water and you can wash and things like that. So on the whole, it was, I think that they managed well for what the facilities were, you know.